back once again on a Friday to talk all things football. This is the Football Sack Podcast, the Friday version, the Friday show. I'm your host, Jack Quigley, and with me, as he always is Christian Leyland.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, everybody who listens to the show. It's good to be hosting once again. Is it good to be joining me once again?
It is. It's always wonderful in the Southern Cross University studio.
Yes. Well, thank you. You got that plug out of the way for me, so I don't have to worry about that. Today's show, we are discussing the Socceroos. There was a Socceroos game during the week.
Oh.
Now, you wouldn't have noticed because you don't pay for your television, like the people who do.
Yes.
But the Socceroos did play a game this week.
They did.
And we'll be discussing that. And we'll be discussing all sorts of new things going on in the A-League. So we've got some new kits and possibly some new players.
Really?
And some new members.
Oh, wow.
And we have lots of interaction to get through, and we have lots of giveaways. So if you're one of those people that listens to the first 15 minutes of a podcast and then turns it off, and I don't know anyone who does that, but if that is you, you could potentially be missing out on some information that could see you pick up some free stuff.
I love free stuff.
We also have my prediction for the week.
Ooh.
This will be number four. Mm-hmm. So that'll be worth sticking around for.
Of course.
Let's get straight into it.
Okay, let's go.
Let's start with the Socceroos. They had a win over Wales during the week. You know, everybody beats Wales, but what was impressive was the performance. I was suitably impressed. You've caught extended highlights of the game.
Yes.
But that's all you're going off at the moment.
That is correct.
I did watch it, and I just thought we just played so well. Wales are one of these great mysteries of football, where you can have a team made up almost entirely of Premier League footballers, and yet they are just so rubbish. And, you know, when we play against teams sort of in Asia, often they will have 10 players we've never heard of, but one player that they go, oh no, he's in Bolton Wanderers' squad. Like, he doesn't play in the first team, but he's in their squad. So we should watch out for them. They'll be dangerous because they have one Premier League player. And it's a team of 11 Premier League players who are, they're below the Faroe Islands in the FIFA rankings.
They're 126, aren't they?
Something ridiculous like that. But then again, I think England are fourth, which shows that those rankings are just
rubbish.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just thought that the passing was great. We played a fantastic system. You know, Scott McDonald, last week's show, we were sort of having a go at him about his lack of goals. He did play again. He did start. He did fail to score again, and yet came out of the game with pretty rave reviews.
Yeah, no, people were very impressed by his performance. They said, you know, he was holding up the ball very well. He's moving off the ball was brilliant.
That's what I was impressed with, his runs. I've always said he's had good runs. Mm-hmm. He just has not scored goals,
yes.
Which is what I struggled in. But he played in this sort of 4-3-3 system, and he wasn't the one man up front a lot of the time. He would sort of take his position there when we would initially first win the ball, but he would make a run that would take him out of position. He'd be quite happy staying out on a wing and sort of running in behind defenders to open up space for other people. He's had a very unselfish game, I guess you would put it. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed.
Yeah, no, very nice. Well, I mean, yeah, positive reviews. It's the first time I've had a positive review of Scott McDonald for a while from most major media outlets. So hopefully, you know, like I said, I've never really said he's gonna be amazing. I've probably been one of his harshest critics, but you know, he's Australian, I would love to see him play really well. So
yes,
all good for him.
So you're willing to just get behind him and put all bias aside as long as he plays well?
Well, yeah, there's only one player who I won't.
That's who I was referring to, actually. I was going to say, so what if Mitch Nichols starts playing really well?
Well, to be fair, last season when he had about three good games, actually said he played really well.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Because when you're someone's worst critic, when they actually play well, you have to give them money.
Tell the listeners about your discussion with Mitch via Twitter.
I discovered Mitch had a Twitter account. And so I kind of put up there, I said, the big question, to follow Mitch Nichols or not to follow Mitch Nichols? And he came back, he said, well, if it's a big question, you probably shouldn't then. I said, well, that's probably fair enough.
Yeah.
I said, well, do you haven't listened to the Football State podcast? He goes, no, actually, why do you ask? And I said, oh, well, because, yeah, if you did, you kind of get what the joke is. You know, the thing is, I have an on-running endless feud with you. And then he deleted all his tweets.
Yes, he's Australian football's answer to Darren Gibson.
Yes, exactly.
So Darren Gibson lasted an hour on Twitter. So he outlasted Darren Gibson for a little bit of time.
He outlasted Darren Gibson until Lales 89 found him.
That's right, Lales 89 tore him to shreds.
So just like any,
not
going to
make it in this world if you can't quit it, if you can't cut it on Twitter. So McDonald played really well. you, being the Brisbane Roar fan that you are, would have been obviously very impressed to see the amount of Brisbane Knights on the field, because we had Matt McKay, obviously, still at Brisbane for the time being until this transfer to Rangers goes through with a work permit, which hopefully it doesn't. Michael Zullo, Adam Sirota made his debut as well, and Robbie Cruse, of course, formerly of Brisbane Roar.
And, you know, obviously, I think, you know, if Tommy Orr wasn't in the young Socceroos, he would have been at least a squad member. So.
Yeah, well, Luke Devere was a squad member as well.
Of course, yes. So. And it's great. Yeah. For both the, you know, Australian football, because these are young players going through, and it's great for the Roar because it shows that you can have an opportunity going through the A-League, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's just fantastic because there is four players, five if you count Luke Devere, that I've mentioned, that just may or may not have ever cut it in professional football, let alone at international football, had it not been for the A-League.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it was only a number of years ago where apart from Matt McKay, each of those were just playing in state leagues or even local leagues.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the progression that the football has made in Australia and the whole, you know, step up to state leagues, to the A-Leagues and on onwards, there's opportunities for anyone who's half decent at football to actually have a real go.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's not to disregard the past, but I think it's, you know, made it a lot more accessible than it ever has been.
Oh, definitely, and we've also got Big Sash Ognanovsky, who you know, when fit and with a club, would be in that squad as well. So Brisbane Roar are the Socceroos feeder club now.
Basically.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Yeah, they're doing well. So they must be happy with themselves. You know, the ongoing turntable of administrators they have up there.
That's right.
Obviously you can say they're playing the best style at the moment, which with Ange Postecoglou, but a lot of these players were at the club and left the club before he even came into power.
That's right.
So it's really good just for Queensland football.
Yes.
And that's coming, you know, it's big coming from a New South Welshman, so.
That's right. And it also sort of bodes well for current, you know, all our current A-League players, just to show that just by playing well here, you're putting yourself in a shop window to move to Europe to then step up to the Socceroos, and it's fantastic.
Well, that's right. And in Matt McKay's case, you don't even have to hit the European window to get there.
Exactly.
It's,
yeah.
It's showing to all the current A-League players or people aspiring for the A-League that once you hit the A-League, there are options available for you.
You're in that shop window.
Which is great. It's a great, great positive for the
And it's also great for fans going to watch the A-League. Mm. The biggest criticism of the old National Soccer League was that you were only watching local players. You weren't watching the best players going around. Whereas now, you can legitimately go to a game and get a good mixture of players who've played at the top level and young players who knows, you could be watching Socceroos in action, just not yet. So, you know, anyone who went and watched Brisbane Roar three seasons ago would have been watching four or five of the current Socceroos squad running around the paddock.
Well, yeah, that's
and
right.
And paying, what, like $15 a ticket for the privilege?
Yeah, $16, too. Yeah. And, you know, exactly 2.5 years ago, I think all five of those players we mentioned and Tommy Orr would have been on the books. Squad.
Yeah.
That's great. And so that's a good, you know, advertisement for the A-League. And, you know, talking about the Twitter thing, you were obviously talking to someone who gave a bit of a negative.
Yeah, well, it was during the week. Mark Schwarzer came out and said that he doesn't really fancy move back to the A-League. He sort of sees himself trying to stay in Europe and play in the Premier League for as long as possible until he retires, basically, and with a goal to be Australia's goalkeeper at the 2014 World Cup. And unfortunately, I think he put a lot of people offside with the way he said that he has no interest in coming back and playing in the A-League. And Mike Cockle wrote an article saying that, you know, he was arrogant and so forth. Which Schwartz on Twitter sort of came back against and countered and said, you know, I don't really sort of think that I'm arrogant at all. And I said to him, look, even though, you know, Mike Cockle might have gone over the top, your comments, whilst not meanting to be malicious, can't have done a lot of good for the A-League by just dismissing our national competition here. And he sort of replied and said, well, you know, do you honestly think that, you know, I'm better off playing in the top level in Europe or the top level in Australia? And I said, and, you know, well, obviously top level in Europe, but that's not to say that someone of your ability couldn't come back. Is pushing Socceroos up into the Socceroos team very, very quickly. It's an improving league, and there's a lot of kids here who could learn a lot from Schwartz if he were to come back. But then he said to me that if he were to come back, he couldn't guarantee that he would be able to give 100% in the same mold that playing in the Premier League makes you do. And that if he's not coming back and giving 100%, well, he's just as bad for the league as if he doesn't come at all. Probably worse, in fact, if you get someone who's just coming up to pick up their retirement fund, which is fair enough.
Yeah, it's fair enough. If that's his mindset, it's obviously he wants to play at the top level for as long as possible, and he figures if he's not capable of playing at the top level, then he's not capable of playing at the A-League.
That's right.
Which, in fact, is a bit of a compliment.
It's
really
a compliment to the A-League, actually, exactly, yeah.
Which is fair enough if that's the way you look at it. On the other hand, you can look at a player like Craig Moore, who came back, he played in the A-League at not 100%, but as good as he could, and he nurtured a young Luke Devere into the player he is now.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, there is both sides to that argument, but you can see where he's coming from, and his comments are obviously taken out of proportion.
Yes, there's always two sides to each story. So.
Yeah, so it's actually interesting hearing it from the man himself.
Yes,
so
that's right.
It's exclusive comments to Jack Quigley.
That's right. The Football Sack once again showing that, you know, don't trust major media outlets, just listen to the Sack.
Yeah, just get in the sack.
Just check your sack regularly. That's all you have to do.
Check your sack regularly. That's right. Sexual health.
Yeah, that's right. You just check your sack regularly, and you'll always be safe.
Once you get in the sack, you never go back.
That's right. Let's talk about the A-League. I think Melbourne are trying to sign someone.
There's rumours going around. They're trying to sign some sort of player that we know about.
That's right. I want to know. I want fans to email the show or Twitter us at the Football Sack. Email us info@thefootballsack or join the Facebook group and comment. Which transfer saga are you most bored of this offseason? Is it the Cesc Fabregas, Arsenal to Barcelona? Mm-hmm. Is it the Carlos Tevez, Manchester City to anywhere that can pay his wages? Mm-hmm. Or is it the Harry Kewell to Melbourne Victory?
Yeah, because they're all a bit rather.
They're all making everyone tear their hair out. And apparently the latest on Kewell is that he is going to the Victory. Mm. It's just we've just got to wait for everything to be put in place. He signed commercial agreements at this stage, I think. And then that will go through. Once all those are finalised and they all get what they want, then they'll sign in terms of playing for the club.
Well, what the story is that once you sign a contract with an A-League club, you cannot sign any sponsorship or endorsement deals with sponsors who are rivals FFA sponsors. So what Kewell did is this is why it took so long, is he was signing deals with the conflicting sponsors before he pen to paper with the Victory. So there's a little loophole there. And so the FFA are going through, you know, going like, you know, a toothed nail. What do you call
it? A fine tooth comb.
Just making sure everything is, you know, T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and hopefully they'll approve it sooner rather than later.
That's right, and hopefully within the next 2 months before the season starts, Harry will start training with the club, training in someone else's kit because he's already signed a deal with them. Speaking of kits. There's some new ones for us to dissect and get excited about, and some good ones. I really like Sydney FC and Wellington Phoenix and Gold Coast United all brought out their new kits. Sydney FC and Wellington Phoenix have gone for Adidas, as seems to be, you know, the in vogue thing to do.
Yes.
Melbourne Victory as well joining. And they just look fantastic, I think. The Sydney FC looks great. Have you seen the new kits?
Yeah, you've got the sky blue with the dark blue pinstripes.
Yes, that's right. And I think it's a fantastic kit, very suave. The away kit looks great as well. And the Phoenix kit looks great. I mean, I know it's black and yellow stripes.
Yes.
And it's always going to look similar. It's like Sunderland's new kit every year. Mm. But I just really think it's flash. Gold Coast United, mixed reviews for theirs. Have you seen theirs?
They look like a rugby league team, don't they?
They do a little bit. I actually quite like the kit.
Yeah, it's good. It's by Fitter, who's a bit of a new manufacturer.
An Australian company.
Australian company.
And they're sponsored by one of Clive Palmer's other companies this season.
Maybe 17 billion other companies.
That's right. They're not sponsored by, I think it was like a Metricon
Queensland
or something.
Nickel.
Queensland Nickel, that's the one. So they're now sponsored by a hotel that he owns.
A hotel in Coolum, of all places.
Coolum, yes.
Which is how many hours away from the Gold Coast? But
he's just got no grasp on reality, that way, does he? None whatsoever. The man, on one hand, in this press conference about the kits, he continued to brag about how much money he makes and how he's not walking away from the club because it doesn't even matter how much money they lose. He doesn't even care. You know, I'm so rich, but I'm going to cap crowds because I don't want to lose $150,000 a game.
It's like saying, like, I'm going on a diet while eating a Whopper from Hungry Jack's.
It is, yeah. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, and there's been talk of them moving away from Skill Park in the last week. Now, first of all, there was an athletics venue on the Gold Coast that was mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then there was mentioned that they own a site, well, Clive Palmer owns a site nearby the stadium, that they could just build their own stadium. which I think everyone would be in favour of, rather than playing in an athletic stadium.
That's right. Because they have athletics and they have a, I think it's the training venue at Carrara.
Yes.
They're both available to expansion to bring to A-League standard, which are options. But like you said, Clive's Palm, I think it's just one of his other 17 billion businesses, owns a plot of land big enough for a stadium complex. And so he's just going to lease it to himself and build a stadium there. So, you know, it could just be hot wind, but it could, you know, there could actually be some movement. So we'll see what happens.
And knowing Clive Palmer, we should assume that it's hot wind until we actually see some concrete evidence.
Yeah, some,
or concrete foundations.
Legitimately concrete evidence.
Yes, that's right.
I can just see him go there. It's like, we're going to build this brand new stadium. He goes to build. He's like, oh, we're just going to cap it at 5,000. We're just going to build 5,000 seats.
Yeah, or just not open it, because then he'd have to hire catering staff.
Yes.
And he doesn't. That's just a cost that he's not willing to pay. So they're just not going
to
have
it. See, what he needs to build a whole new stadium just so he can get a seat which he can fit in.
That's right, yeah. So, he'll take up one stand.
He'll take one stand and that's it. Yeah, yeah. Just a stadium just for Clive and the team to play.
Yes. So, yeah, Gold Coast. Interesting. Newcastle Jets have hit the 6,500 members mark.
Very impressive.
Yeah, Jets. Well, it's impressive, but not surprising, is it?
No, it's not.
Given their prices and potential to be a force this season.
They've got a great side. They've got great pricing for their tickets. You know, they've got a great new stand.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's right.
It's all looking bright for the Castrians.
And that was the basis of my prediction. I just think there is just such a feel-good factor about that club that they'll get momentum. Yeah. And I just think that come the end of the season, I think they'll be in the top three.
Yes, I think so. I honestly can't see them. Well, because the comp is so tight, they might be able to drop out of three, but they really shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got such, as I said, everything good is squad, happening for them.
Good coach, good and stadium,
financial good support, backing,
yeah,
a good board now finally, yeah. And yeah, they got Michael Bridges in there too, just to sort things out.
And no Lulubo. I saw Stoke City qualify for the Europa League by beating Hajduk Split the other day, and apparently Lubo was at fault for Stoke's goal.
Oh.
So that's always nice.
Yeah, it's always. Good on you, man.
Yeah.
Good on you.
He lack of professionalism by the other striker for scoring against him. Just, that's disgraceful. Lack of professionalism. By not making Lubo look good, just lacks professionalism. Melbourne Victory have hit the 10,000 mark. And I, you know, that's a huge pat on the back for them. You know, I mean, we've waxed lyrical about Melbourne Victory, but for 10,000, and they're not paying the budget prices that the Jets are either.
That's right. So they're always good with members, and so, you know, you gotta keep on going, and that's what they're doing. So good work.
Get there and experience that A-League atmosphere, because we can give you the chance to do that.
Well, we can.
Yeah, we've got some giveaways.
We do.
Well, you can talk us through it if you like.
How exciting.
Yeah. This is a gift straight from Christian to you,
the listeners. Straight from Christian, you know. All right, listeners, it'll be like the football sack, the sack seats, you know. Don't have a membership.
It's like a Christmas sack. It's Santa's sack.
He's
just giving away, and you're wearing a red shirt at the moment. Whoa. So it all just ties in nicely.
That's right. Basically, numbers and games and how many are not confirmed yet. But last year, obviously, we had the Sydney FC competition.
Yes.
Where we had two tickets to every Sydney FC home game. And every week we'd have a competition to give those away. And we had heaps and heaps and heaps of entries. And everything was very happy and rosy and everybody loved it. Well, we got some new clubs on board this season. And this is just so far. You know, who knows? More may jump on board.
That's right. We still have, what, 8 weeks? Seven weeks until the league starts?
So, yeah.
We could have every club in place.
We could have every club. Yeah, that's enough time for me to just piss off everyone.
Yes.
Until they just give in. We have Melbourne Victory on board with tickets. We have Melbourne Heart who are on board with tickets. And we have Central Coast Mariners on board with tickets.
And so, we're in discussions, I believe, with the champions.
We're the champions, Brisbane Roar. So, look, you know, if you didn't bother buying a membership this year, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, you're probably the smarter because you can just use ours. So.
That's right, yeah. Seats are on us.
So, again, yeah, we don't know if it's going to be season-long like Sydney FC yet. We don't know how many games it's going to be, but they are going to be some.
There's going to be some seats there with Football Sack members and supporters named on them.
Yes, and it's going to be amazing, and it's all for you guys. So
we will be in touch as to how that they can cash in on those.
Mm-hmm,
And I think we've got, well, like I said, 7 weeks to figure out why I've given away those tickets before the season starts. So that's fantastic. So a big thank you to all of those clubs, the aforementioned clubs, for their support.
Yes, very, very good. Because, you know, it's great. You know, we're getting people to the game. Because the best thing about the CFC competition last year was a lot of the winners were people who wouldn't normally go.
Yes.
Like, some of the winners were season ticket holders, and so they just gave the tickets to their friends to come for the first time. And we had a lot of messages from people who did go for the first time and said, oh, they've since been back as paying members. Yeah. So it works.
And CFC seemed to really enjoy the experience as well. with dealing with us. And
well, they did. Yeah, you know, they were very, very happy with the results. And, you know, one person, I know one of, well, at least one person who said he's going to buy a season ticket.
A whole season ticket, so just on the basis of one free game that he went to. He was so blown away. So that's fantastic. So it's,
so imagine if we do that with a team who actually wins games.
That's right.
Be incredible.
Yeah. There'll be a bit of a buzz there. Well, since we're talking about giveaways, let's talk about...
Okay, this book.
Yeah.
The aptly titled One Got Past the Keeper.
Yeah.
Now...
This is now the Football Sack Literature Show. I'll bet you didn't see this coming at the start of the episode,
no,
listeners, but we are going to discuss literature, and we're going to discuss how we're going to be giving away literature.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, the Football Sack's Margaret and David at the movies, but
that's
it's right. With books.
Yeah, it's the book club, so the Football Sack book club. It's no longer the Friday show, it's just the book club. We'll discuss one this week, and we'll take suggestions for next week. We'll tell you what it is, you go out and you read it, and we all just discuss it.
Actually, this kind of isn't a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
No. Don't listen. Hear me out. So, we started with this book. But if readers can send in suggestions of their best football book and between
for other people to read.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, if we can be bothered, we might read it and we'll talk about it on the show and suggest whether it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Well, see, I don't know if that's valid because we're not book experts. We just got given some books to give away. It just doesn't bestow the title of sort of expert in the written word.
No, but I mean, what if we just say we were, would that work?
Yeah. As long as we delete the last 2 minutes of this podcast.
Okay, we can use our editing skills, which we have plenty of.
Which we never
do. No, we don't, because Dave's our producer.
That's right, exactly. Thanks, Dave. Did you remember to push record
today? He's got his tyre stuck in his car.
Again. Yes, that's right. One Got Past the Keeper. Very interesting book.
Very much. Like, we actually haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
So, but we know a bit of it. It's basically based on six guys who played. They played six-a-side soccer, or football, whatever you would like to call it. Your own personal preference.
The
Bangalow Trombones.
Yeah.
Now, they ended up. It's kind of. It's hard to explain. Well, it's not really. They all had babies at the same time, basically.
Yeah, that wasn't that hard at all. That's the gist of it. So, in all good bookshops. No. Yes.
Quickest book review ever. No, what happened was they all kind of their wives fell pregnant within days of each other, and just like bam, one big string, so they had babies, and they decided to make a book about fatherhood and manliness and what it means to be a man and football. So three of the best things in life, minus the babies and being a man.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
And they each did their own personal little story. There's a foreword there by someone famous, and it's all good. So we're going to have a few copies to give away, which we'll tell you about soon enough when we've realised what we're going to do.
Once again, just keep checking the sack.
That's right. Keep checking the sack.
Yeah,
keep checking the sack. That's right.
Once again, it ties in with the fertility theme nicely. So
it very much does. So it should be good.
Yeah.
We'll let you know on the podcast, but just check the site 17 times a day. Too easy.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of checking sites, they should all go check the Facebook site. Plenty of good stuff to check out there, isn't there?
There's always good stuff.
We've got a few links. One that you showed me when we arrived here at the studio, which is a clip of one of the worst dives in the history of football. I mean, everyone thinks they've seen some footage of one of the worst dives in the history of football. This is brilliant. It's what is it? FC20 against Ajax, I believe, in the Dutch league, and it just has to be seen to be believed. This dive. So,
we spoke about Charlie Miller's dive last week. And,
yes,
Charlie Miller had nothing on this guy.
Yeah, that's right. Charlie's swan dive. I'm smiling just thinking
just
back
thinking
to that.
About it.
Yeah,
you had the eyes up in the ceiling, just reminiscing the JD off Scrubs sort of thing.
Yes, that's
right.
I'm
surprised you didn't come out and say, and that's why walruses don't like possums.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of walruses and Charlie Miller.
Of course, it all fits in.
Yeah. That's definitely worth checking out, as well as a very interesting promo, because we asked people what you would do to promote the A-League. What lengths would you go to as a club? And what one person posted on the wall.
It was Pete from Poland, actually.
Oh, it was Polish Pete, was it? Yes, okay, yes. Well, there you go. So he's posted a link to a German company that made up little tags, almost sort of like the tags that you would put on your suitcase, yes, when you're traveling.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
And just attached them to flies.
Yeah.
So there were these brand tags and just released all these flies out. They're flying around with their logo on it.
You literally, you can't imagine it in your head until you actually see it.
Yeah, and it's 100% legit. Yeah. It happened.
You see them released, they got all these flies. Like you said, I'm just going to repeat what you say because it's amazing. They get tags with their brand and message, tie them to flies, and then release them into the city.
Yes.
And the flies go around spreading the good word.
Yeah, so, you know, keep watch out for some Brisbane Roar flies near you.
Well, it gives a good another name for flyers, isn't it?
It does, yeah. Flying flyers. Yeah.
So, look, you have to go to our Facebook page.
Just to see what that. The hell that... Because I didn't know what the hell you were talking about when you told me until you showed me.
www.facebook.com/thefootballsack. Or if you want to give us website hits, go to www.thefootballsack.com and then click on our Facebook link, because that's so much more awesome.
Yes. And if you wanted to do it in the reverse and get to the site, you go to the Facebook site and click on some of the links to some of the stories. We have a story out there about an interview with Sydney FC's new recruit, old recruit, mm-hmm. Carol Kissel, who's back from Slavia Prague. He had a chat to Mickey Rucek.
He did. The Czech.
And the Czech spoke to the Czech.
Yeah,
that's right. So that a link to that story is up there. So check that out. Of course, Carol Kissel, instrumental last time Sydney won the premiership.
He was. Him and Corica were probably the two instrumental players, and they both kind of left at the end of the season. So Sydney kind of had a bit of a dive. But see, this is actually Carol's first interview since he's returned to the country. So we've got the
another exclusive.
It's brilliant.
It
so
another second.
It's a great read too. So Sydney FC promoted on their own Facebook. So have a look, because it's even if you're not a Sydney FC fan, it's good just to know where he's coming from.
It is. Let's talk quickly before we end the show about my prediction for the week.
Yes. So there was no kind of spin-offs which you could have attached it to?
There was no segues at all. We didn't talk about Adelaide United at all during the show, and I knew we weren't going to. However...
Actually, wait, let's do it. Adelaide United. Their kit's supposed to be red this
year. They play in red. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Correct. They have Bruce Gite, among others. Yeah. And it's on the topic of their new signings that I just thought when we were walking in the studio, I thought, right, I've got my prediction for today. Mm-hmm. But we didn't talk about anything to do with Adelaide. But I'll forget it by next week, so I want to get it down because I think this is a surefire win.
Okay.
I'm predicting that Adelaide United's marquee signing, Dario Vidicic, will be one of the biggest flops of the A-League season.
Okay. See, now this is interesting because how can you judge a flop?
That's right, and that's what I needed to discuss to get this clarified. I think that by him playing poorly on a very regular basis, I don't know how will we do it by match ratings or something like that.
Well, do we have a Castrol index for the A-League?
I don't know.
I don't think we do. Yeah. Maybe we'll start a sack index.
It'll just have to be based on opinion.
Okay.
Because I mean, you can tell when people are happy with the way some players are playing as opposed to others. Mm. But I just think that this is one of the most disgusting misuses of the marquee player system since the A-League started.
Yes,
a player who kind of made his name on the back of his dad being the assistant coach in season two of the A-League, went overseas, couldn't cut the mustard in Europe, came back and apparently is a superstar. So we shall see.
Yes. No. Okay. So maybe we set up some sort of panel where it's impartial.
Yeah. At the end of the season, they all go through and say, right, Dario Vidicic flop or not.
Yeah. So we might have some members of the SAC. We might have some members of our listeners.
That's
and they
right.
Could kind of actually just all band together and decide whether it's a flop or not.
We could do up a questionnaire for and everyone can respond, and we'll just take the majority of answers.
Of course, everybody's going to say he is going to be a winner, though, because they want to see your belly flop into a pool of custard.
Yes, that's right. Who wrote to us on Twitter and asked if that was actually a punishment or not? Robbie26872. That's a really strange surname to be mostly numbers.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. Like... He wrote back, is that really a punishment? And you asked whether that was actually Scott McDonald's Twitter name. which could be the case. Football's having exclusive chats with Mark Schwarzer discussing the A-League and Scott McDonald discussing custard.
Yes, and of
Mitch
course,
Nichols discussing Mitch Nichols. And somehow Mitch Nichols managed to get that wrong.
Yes. So that's basically, we haven't had... It's weird because we get emails in, we get interaction and stuff all the time, yet no one's been willing to put their hand up to give you a punishment or a reward.
Yeah.
Literally, we've got... a waiting pool of custard. stupid, and we've got a Padlin.
a Padlin. That was, they didn't suggest whether that was going to be the reward or the punishment.
I guess it depends what you're kind of into,
that's
isn't
right,
it?
Yes.
We'll have to get Gabby on the show and ask her that.
Yeah, we'll ask her that. She'll give us the inside.
Doesn't she want a shout out?
Does she?
Yeah, because she helped us out last week with the call-ins.
That's right, yeah. So a big shout-out to my partner, Gabby.
There we go.
She doesn't even listen to the show, so she won't get it. And even if I told her to listen, she'd say, yeah, yeah, okay, and then just I'll ask her later on. She'll say, yeah, yeah, I listened. And I'll say, what did I say about you? And she'll say, crap.
And this is the Football Sack, you know, domestics podcast.
That's right, yeah. So make sure you listen in to the Sunday Sack on Sunday, because apparently, you know, we've been told to listen to them. Because
yeah.
They go to the trouble to listen to us, apparently. But I do
life's
listen to
not
them.
Fair, boys. Life's not fair.
That's right. Make sure you tune in next week to us, more importantly than them, though.
Very much so.
We'll continue this Football Sack war. See you next week as we edge ever closer to the start of the Hyundai A-League. Thank God. I said something in there.